we're going to answer the question, does God still call? And it's an interesting question. It's one that we've talked about off and on over the years. And it's one that it's worth revisiting now and then, just to make sure that we understand what it means for God to call at all. And it does us no disservice, but when we think of God calling, generally speaking, we think of stories like we just had read for us in Samuel, where God speaks in an audible voice to call someone into something extraordinary. First, an extraordinary message of judgment, if we would have continued reading, on Eli and his house. A beginning of Samuel's ministry, one of the most extraordinary figures in the Old Testament. A towering figure, to say the very least. A priest and a prophet both. The human being that God entrusted to take the nation of Israel from a sort of loose theocracy that it was into a monarchy. And we think, now that is a call of God. Or we think of when Jesus called his disciples. We think of calling them from being fishers or whatever else it is. If you review the lectionary readings for today, you'll read about how Nathanael was called and became an apostle after having some nasty remarks about Nazareth, because God apparently doesn't just call people with a good attitude about everything. Think of God calling Paul, getting his attention by knocking him off a horse and recreating him as a person to the Saint Paul that we know, who wrote so much of the New Testament. And we think of all that, and we think, well, I don't know. I guess he still does. Certainly did in Scripture. And then we think perhaps in church history, Martin Luther called to reform the church. In our own lifetimes, we think of Billy Graham called to speak to millions of people. We say, okay, I guess God does still call, just not very often. We feel perhaps, as it says in our reading, that in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. We think, well, that must be us. Well, God does still call. And God does still call, not just in theory. We're not just saying, well, we're not going to limit God by saying he's not going to call another Billy Graham or another Samuel for that matter. So of course he could if he wanted to, but he doesn't very often. Except he does still call. God calls all the time. And he begins that call, interestingly enough, with each of us, before we even know that he exists, before we even know that we're being called. In these days of new grandchildren around the house, I'm thinking of beginnings in a way that I might not otherwise. One of the things that I'm very grateful for as I moved into ministry in a Presbyterian context was getting a better, a deeper, a more significant understanding of what baptism means when you baptize infants. Because where I grew up, we didn't do that. And I don't know that we looked down on churches that baptized babies, but we certainly didn't say that there was anything good about it. It was just one of those things that they did and we don't. But as I had my own children baptized, and as I was at the baptism of other babies, what I saw was it's as clear as it can possibly be, symbol and reality of God reaching out and calling us even when we can't respond. Because God's call always comes first. God is still calling. He calls everyone to him. He calls everyone to move into a relationship with him through Jesus. That call is as real now as it always has been. And perhaps then we think, well, okay, that we'll give you that one, but that's different. There's something about human beings that has this, we seem to have this desperate desire to put things in lists or to rank things or to try and figure out where we are. Well, I'm better than you at this thing, but you're better than me at that thing and all of that. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with making lists. It's helpful to know which of your children is older than the others. It's not such a bad thing to be able to tell that some people are taller than others. It's not a value thing, it's just a thing. But sometimes we end up putting things in lists or ranking things in ways that aren't helpful. And so we look at Samuel and Paul and Nathaniel, maybe Mary, we look at these people, look at Billy Graham, and we think, well, their call was just so much more significant than mine. But was it? Obviously, we can't do this with Samuel and these people in Scripture, and I've never heard of Billy Graham responding to this particular kind of question, but I wonder, if we were to ask these people and say, here, we're going to give you these two options. It's hypothetical, of course. We're going to give you these two options. One, you can continue in this call of significant, even profound public ministry at the expense of that call to a relationship with God. Would you allow that call to take precedence over the far less dramatic, the far less public, the far less profound, if you will, call to be in a relationship with God? From what I do know of the character of these people in Scripture, and from what I do know from listening to Dr. Graham speak, I'm pretty sure they would not take that. They would say that their call to that relationship with God was the most significant call in their lives. And that from that flowed all these other things. So in a very real sense, that call that God initiated with us to come into a relationship with Him is just the same as the call that Samuel received. Because that call to admit that God is God and that we are who we are as part of the created order and that we need that relationship with Him is the ground upon which all these other calls come. Without that first call, there are no other calls. And perhaps now you're thinking, oh, I see, you're just reshaping call into something that we can all have to make us all feel good. And those other kind of calls just don't happen very much anymore. Well, no, that's not the case either. Because they do happen. Very few of us are called to be priests and prophets and take our country from one form of government to another. We'll just leave it at that. That's a very unusual call. Very few of us are called into the kinds of ministry that Billy Graham, that Martin Luther, that St. Paul, that these other ones are. Very few of us get that kind of call. But does that mean that God does not call us as individuals for particular things that only we can do? Only Billy Graham could do what Billy Graham did. It's not that he was such an extraordinary person. If you ask Billy Graham, and this I have heard him speak about, that the Holy Spirit is what has made his ministry what it is. It's not that he is a unique human being any more than the rest of us are unique. He has gifts, to be sure, but he's spoken often about preachers who are better than him at making sermons and people who speak better than him. And yet he, at the same time, accepts that the gifts that he has have been used by God in an extraordinary way. As are yours. As are mine. Every time you have that thought that person that I barely know or perhaps that I don't know at all needs a kind word or needs my assistance, those thoughts that come out of nowhere, they don't come out of nowhere. There is no nowhere. Everything comes from somewhere, and those come from God. The nudges that we have to make the best use of the gifts that the Holy Spirit has put within us come from God, and they are calls that are as significant for us as God's call for Samuel was. Because God's call is the call that we need, that we have. If Samuel would have turned his back on that call, we all see that that would be a problem. If Paul would have got up, dusted himself off, got back on that horse and said, well, I guess I'm a blind persecutor of the church, we would all look at that as that would be a terrible thing. But it's a terrible thing, not because of the extent of it. The terrible part of it comes that he turned his back in this hypothetical situation on the call of God. That's what makes it terrible, not the extent of it. The extent of it is irrelevant. Once you have turned your back on God's call, there is nothing more than that. God, the creator of the universe, has asked you to do something. This doesn't mean we'll get it perfect, and it doesn't mean that if, for whatever reason, we don't follow God's prodding, that we're somehow doomed and that that's the end of us. But we need to start taking these things seriously. God has given us all spiritual gifts because all of us are in unique situations where we are the only person who can do what needs to be done. And often it's behind the scenes. Often it's easy for us to think that the only person who will ever know besides us is God. And sometimes that's even right. But that's okay, because that's the call. Because God does still call. And we still need to answer. Sometimes the call is really clear. Go and do this thing. We have this feeling that we need to phone somebody, that we need to give that person $5, whatever it might be. Sometimes it's tangible like that. Sometimes it's, I need to pray for that person. And we need to answer. We need to say, yes, here I am. In the same way that all these other people said, here I am, in one way or another. I like the example of Nathaniel. For all kinds of reasons, not least of which, it proves that you can still do what you need to do and not be fully convinced at first. Nathaniel followed, even though he didn't really want to. Come up and say, you should come, this prophet from Nazareth wants you to follow. He goes, Nazareth? Are you kidding? Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. It's a hole. The last part isn't in scripture, but it's strongly implied. Nazareth was a dump. Nothing good came out of there. Okay, I'll go. He still went. Sometimes we need to be convinced. Sometimes we do things in spite of ourselves. Sometimes we grit our teeth as we do a good deed. Because we're human. Because we're tired. Because we're sure somebody else should have taken care of this. We don't think it's our job. Whatever it might be. There's all kinds of reasons, none of which make us anything other than just human beings, fallen people living in a fallen world. But we still say, here I am. God is calling all of us. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we listen carefully for God to tell us to put one foot in front of the other when we're walking down the street. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about waiting, lying in bed for God to tell us whether we should get up today or not. There's a whole bunch of things that we don't need to talk to God about, that God doesn't have to call us to do. God does not give us a specific call to be a decent human being today. But if we don't believe in our innermost beings that God still calls, and he still calls people like us, just like us, to do that thing, whatever it might be, if we don't believe in the call, it'll be a lot harder for us to hear it. And if we think the only kind of call that God still does is calls to dramatic things, to sell all our stuff and go work in relief and development somewhere, to move somewhere where we're guaranteed to be uncomfortable or who knows what it is, whatever kind of strange idea we might come up with, because we're very capable of coming up with strange ideas. If we believe that that's the only kind of call, it'll be really hard for us to hear that call that says, you know, you usually don't talk to that person after church, and that's okay, but I want you to today. That call that says, I want you to be just a little bit nicer when you go through this person's line at the supermarket because they're having a tough day. If we don't believe those calls can happen, we just won't hear them. But if we believe that they do, if we're attuned to that, we will have opportunities for ministry, for the exercise of our spiritual gifts that we just would never have even imagined. And we may not know in this life how much of an impact we had. But what we do know is that responding to God's call accomplishes more than we can ever imagine. All of us have people in our lives where the impact of what they did is way out of proportion to what they did. That the kind word at the right time was like winning a lottery. That the word of correction at the right time was like another degree in how much it improved your understanding of everything. And those people may or may not even know. They may not even remember. But we've all been on the receiving end of that. And if we're willing to listen to a God calling us to do the same, we will. Does God still call? Yes, He does. He calls people just like us to do things that are slightly out of our comfort zone, that are slightly unusual for us, that occasionally are dramatic and big. But for the most part, the call of God is there for us if we're willing to listen to it and to take the risk of responding to the call. We all responded once already. We moved into that relationship with God through Jesus. The most important call for us to respond to. But it's not the last. Amen.